especially if you're looking at, you know, really big beers. This is, especially our traditional barrel aging series, tend to be on the higher side. We don't get the, you know, abject cold that they do up north at Unibrew, but Indiana does get cold in the middle of the winter, and you want a little something that'll warm you up. So the twist off allows you to have a sip, cap it, put it back in the fridge, or let it kind of warm up gradually on the counter if you can't wait, and then, you know, sip it a little bit more. So it's an all-night sipper.
I'm Len Davis, founder, editor, and publisher of The Beer Connoisseur, inviting you to download our Beer Buyers Club live stream happy hours and podcast, where we invite beer lovers to purchase highly rated and rare beers and to bring those beers to our live stream show where the brewers themselves provide guided tastings. These unique events allow Beer Club members to discuss these hard-to-find beers with fellow connoisseurs and to ask the brewers questions in our brewer Q&A segment. The podcast is available on all major platforms. We encourage you to join the Beer Buyers Club for free at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You will receive weekly e-newsletters detailing the latest beers, live stream events, and podcast episodes. I hope you enjoy today's show. Cheers.
Hi, I'm show host Doug Piper, and before we get into today's show, it's important to acknowledge our beer club partner, Tavor. Want to know how to turn your fridge into the best craft beer bar around? Well, just download the Tavor app, and you can easily purchase fresh, highly rated, hard-to-find beer from U.S. craft breweries delivered to your home or business. Also enjoy a $10 account credit after spending $25 with discount code BC2020. Download the app today. Welcome to our show. I'm Doug Piper, and I'm talking with Dave Colt, co-founder of Sun King Brewing in Indianapolis, Indiana. Dave has worked as a bartender, manager, and brewer in restaurants around the Indianapolis area for over 20 years. He's brewed at Circle V in Castleton, Indiana, and the Ram Restaurant and Brewery. Then he and co-founder Clay Robinson came up with the concept for Sun King, and they began pouring beer in 2009. Since then, they have won more than 35 national awards and have also been awarded 6 awards at the Festival of Wood and Barrel Age Beers. Dave completed his distiller's education at the world-renowned Distilled Spirits Epicenter in Kentucky. Sun King Brewery has won more Great American Beer Festival and World Beer Cup medals combined than any other Indiana brewery. They rank in the top 5 of all combined GABF and World Beer Cup medal recipients worldwide during that time span, and they have been named the Grand Champion Brewery at the 2019 U.S. Open Beer Championship. Before we move into Dave's guided tasting and discussion of his barrel-aged donuts, a 10.4% pastry stout aged in bourbon barrels and also made with 500 Jack's chocolate donuts, chocolate malt, flaked malt, lactose, and semi-sweet chocolate, and it has a 4.23 out of 5 on Untappd. We begin with Dave sharing some of the things that make Sun King a very special brewery in Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's one of our barrel rooms. This happens to be our sour barrel aging area. So if you see a fruit fly kind of zip by, well, you know, they love sours. So if you come to the mothership, we have 5 locations presently around the Indianapolis, greater Indianapolis area, including our distillery in Carmel, Indiana. But if you come to the mothership, we've got about 50,000 square feet happening. Here, you'll walk into the tap room and then you'll see our brew house and fermentation tanks. And then through sort of a corridor, you'll see our canning line and our cellar side of things. So, yeah, a little bit going on. We started in 2009 with a hope and a dream and a prayer that somebody might care about our beer one day. And we're up to about 32,000 barrels as of last year. So I think fun, friendly folks and a congenial atmosphere that is family friendly. So to give you a little background information on barrel-aged donuts, this is our first foray into a pastry stout. As we got to about, we were approaching batch 5,000, we just were kicking around in production. Hey, what fun thing haven't we done yet? And producing, you know, a stout with a load of donuts in it just sounded like a whole lot of fun. So I'll give you a picture of the donut that inspired it from a local donut company, Jack's. We had a conversation with the owners there and came up with a chocolate cake donut with chocolate glaze. So we incorporated that into the mash bill. We brewed this beer well over a year ago. I hate to say this, but 500 donuts were very much harmed in the making of this beer. So, yeah, I mean, the holes, everything into the mix. So what we are looking for and what we think this beer represents is the feeling of drinking a lovely, luscious chocolate donut in the mix. So as you pour the beer, you'll notice that unlike the beautiful Le Fin du Monde, we won't have as much head. Obviously, donuts are typically fried, so there's a little oil residue that happens to get into the mash as well. So it really kind of cuts down on the head. But don't be fooled. It's still a very delicious beer. It clocks in, the barrel-aged version, clocks in at about 10.4 ABV. So it's no slouch on that front. We aged it for a year in 13-year-old Fitzgerald barrels. And we picked those specifically because the, you know, the tasting notes and the flavor that you get from the old Fitz, you know, is vanilla bean and frosting and honey and cake and caramel. We did add some chocolate and a little vanilla bean to the barrel itself, or mine as well. So you can see it's, you know, not black, but a very dark brown beverage that has all the elements, including the frosting, I think, into the mix, plus that lovely little kick from bourbon. I'm going to take a sip because it looks delicious.
Well, it looks awesome. I think I want to let everybody appreciate the picture, though. It is beautiful beer.
So when we were, you know, chatting, we often do a lot of fun experimental type stuff, and we're not afraid to try things, including, you know, jamming a bunch of Indiana popcorn into beer. When we came up to batch 5,000, we're like, let's celebrate with something sweet and fun. It does have, you know, I think some really nice light toast notes, a little bit of smoke, but the chocolate isn't overwhelmingly sweet as in a milk chocolate. I think it's more, you know, like a dark chocolate with just, you know, shading toward bitter baker's chocolate. And that's part of the toast and char coming from the barrel.
Boy, it smells like a wonderful dessert. I mean, it is just aromatically just phenomenal.
In fact, Doug, you're the only person outside of the brewery to ever have this beer because we're releasing it next Friday or a week from Friday.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, what a privilege.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Mm. Wow. That is so reminiscent of a chocolate donut. It is phenomenal. Now, 500 donuts in how much beer?
And about 28 barrels.
Wow. Who got to clean out the fermenter?
It all went into the mash. So luckily the mash rakes and the progressive cavity pump got it out of the building. So it was a fun, though, you know, sort of old school fireman bucket brigade, handing a box to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, on up into the mash tun.
So was there some sort of stirrer or anything that sort of kept it all from settling?
Yeah, we've got a mash rake in our 30-barrel Newlands brew house. So that just, you know, we kept that whirling around after we did our initial mash in, and then put the donuts in on top and watch them be harmed a lot.
Wow. The aromatics are just phenomenal. I mean, and that's your first pastry stout.
It's the first one we ever made, yeah.
So does that have any lactose added to it?
We do have lactose in the mix. So it's been over a year, so I went to write down the malt bill because, you know, we release typically normally, well, even during COVID, 50 different beers a year. So it's hard to keep track of all the kids on that front. So it was about a 2,500 pound mash in, and about 11% was lactose. So we, you know, employed some golden naked oats. So woo-woo to Simpsons on the golden naked oats front. Delicious stuff. And then the usual suspects, chocolate malt, crystal malt, and, of course, Two-Row.
Well, it's like a donut, but so much better. You got all the aromatics of a donut. It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. Not nearly as sweet as a donut would be. And, I mean, what a great way to have a donut.
I think it's pretty great.
It's phenomenal. I love all the aromatics. It's just chocolate and a little bit of fruit. It's got a sweet. Is there a little bit of vanilla in it?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting some natural vanilla in from the oak, but we also put just a touch of vanilla bean in it post-aging in oak so that we could kind of punch up that frosting note. So the thing that we didn't want it to be, and I think probably a signature for Sun King, if you've had many of our beers or maybe any of our beers, is that we love to have a balance. Even though we'll tell you that we've done these things, you know, I like to drink for volume and for quality at the same time. So if I can't get through a pint, what's the point? And so, you know, we want to make sure that the beers that we produce, we say what it means, you taste it, and when you get down to the end of the pint, you don't have fatigue. You could go to the next one, right? That is lovely beer. I almost want to give up all my time to hear Jerry talk some more because that was fantastic.
Well, tell me this. Tell me about the can. Now, this is unusual.
It is. Well, it is and it isn't. So if you look at the can and you made it silver and you put a mass-produced multinational conglomerate logo on it from the Rockies, you may notice that can a little bit more. So the story behind the can happened when we were starting our barrel program, and we had one barrel. Right now we've got, between our traditional barrel aging and sour, we've got about 1,000 barrels working presently. But way back in the day when we had a few going on, we're like, okay, well, we can take it to market. How are we going to put it in to market? And we are a canning brewery. We were the 53rd craft canning brewery in the U.S. at the time. And my business partner, Clay, said, well, we got to go to bottles. And I said, heck no, but more stronger language than that. And so I go, there's got to be something out there. And we're a Ball customer. Let's contact Ball and see, you know, what they've got going on. So they picked up the phone. And they said, who the heck are you guys? And we're like, we're, you know, in your backyard, you know, where you started in Indiana, Ball State, right? All that kind of good stuff with jars. We want to see what other kind of cans options that you have. And they're like, okay, we'll get back to you. And then in 2011, we hit the GABF lottery and we won 8 medals that year at GABF. And then the next week, the phone call came in from Ball, and they're like, hey, remember that thing you talked about 6 months ago? We'd like to pick that conversation back up. So we did, and they said, do you know anybody at Oscar Blues? And at the time, which was the first craft canning brewery, and at the time, one of my good friends was the head brewer there. So we had a conversation, and we decided to move forward with the Illumitech can, which is the can that you were displaying just then. So we, you know, invested, as well as Cask Canning Company and Oscar Blues into bringing it into a smaller version versus, you know, the larger other company that had it out there into the world. So we decided that, you know, we wanted to present our beers in a way. It's a 16 ounce can, but we typically serve them in a 2-pack. You can see the Illumitech there. We call it the buddy system. You know, when you have that seriously fun, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I have this beer and I want to drink it right now. Well, you can, because you can save the other one for that special bro or, you know, gal date when that person's coming over, and then you still have it to share.
Well, it's a quite distinctive can. I mean, I just really love how it looks.
Does the donut turn brown when it's ready?
Absolutely.
Good, 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 good.
The sprinkles show up when it's ready.
Nice. Very well said.
That's awesome.
We've got 37 taps. Let's see, that's a pretty recent lineup. going forward. But right behind Doug is an 11-foot tall giant pinata that adorns our Mexican style lager. And then we call him Marty, the party pinata.
That's awesome.
We like to have a little bit of fun.
Well, clearly, and just a phenomenal beer. Really am enjoying it. And the can is so distinctive that really stands out and looks extremely nice. And also one thing I noticed, Dave, was it was filled totally to the top. It was even to the top. So there was, I don't think there was any airspace for oxidation.
I'm sure that if you did a puncture test for dissolved oxygen, you would find that the number was zero on that front. So when you have, you know, everything that comes through our King's Reserve series, when we can it, goes through there, and it's, you know, it takes super lightning fast, six people to run the canning line, and we get six cans a minute, which is pretty great stuff. So a lot of folks, when you have, you know, big beers, barrel-aged beers, things of that nature, they do tend to want to cellar it. So we want to make sure that it's going to have the longevity that it can have. We have been experimenting doing some can conditioning on that front because, you know, obviously Unibrew, a lot of beautiful European breweries have that, and you get that just gorgeous moose-like head, and cans, you know, clap to you, Jerry, because that's a gorgeous presentation for sure. So, you know, we're efforting that cause as far as that's concerned, but it just felt like the right thing for us to do as a can-forward brewery.
Well, it was right up to the top, which is just a great thing to see. So we're going to move into the questions. What was it like brewing that many donuts?
I'd like to take a brief break and encourage you to join the Beer Connoisseurs Beer Buyers Club and club partner Tavor. Turn your fridge into the best craft beer bar around by just downloading the Tavor app. There you can easily purchase fresh, highly rated, hard-to-find beers from U.S. craft breweries, and they're delivered right to your door. Snag a $10 account credit after spending $25 with discount code BC2020. Download the app today. Join the Beer Buyers Club for free at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You'll receive weekly newsletters detailing the latest beers. You'll also receive access to both the live stream and podcast episodes of the Beer Connoisseur Happy Hour. Join us today and be our newest Beer Buyers Club member. In our next segment, we will resume with Dave Cole, the co-founder of Sun King Brewing in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's also joined by three additional brewers, Jerry Vietz of Uni Brew in Chambly, Quebec, Canada, Paul Leshefsky, the head brewer at East Brother Beer Company in Richmond, California, and Dave Witham, the founder and president of Proclamation Ale in Warwick, Rhode Island. This segment starts with Dave's answer to a viewer's question on what it was like brewing with 500 of Jack's chocolate donuts.
Oh man, the brew house was just, you know, glorious smelling. You've got all the crystal malt and chocolate malt and everything else. And then, of course, there were extra donuts. All 500 didn't fit. Some of them may have made it into my ever-expanding COVID belly. But it was a, you know, it was a glorious day, just filling the room with cake and chocolate and all kinds of delicious smells.
How'd you get past the sugar high?
I still am.
Oh, what a great question. Thank you, Chris, for that question. So Gary asks, would it be redundant to use that beer in a batter to make donuts?
Oh my God, no. Inception, let's do it. Yeah.
Dave Witham, a little reaction there?
Yeah, man, that just blew my mind. Hey, Gary, you're a genius. Yeah. And then, I mean, if you just keep going with it, like, I mean, I guess eventually, I don't know, the world implodes or explodes, and that's it. So
it's already imploding, right?
Yeah. That's, what came first, the beer or the donut?
Right, yeah, exactly. No one knows anymore. They're just passed out from either the diabetes or the alcohol. You don't know.
You got to go some way, right?
Right, exactly. I, those are my two choices. It's fun.
Yeah, Eric Harding says, I make a Guinness or whichever stout I've recently homebrewed, and this should be a nice ice cream. Dave Chris asks, do you have a favorite Sun King beer, or have we just been talking about it?
Ooh, that's a great question. And this is going to sound like I'm dodging it, but it's not. It's whatever beer I'm holding. You know, I mean, they're all my children, and not necessarily Sun King beer, but anybody's beer out there that is delicious and well-made. So, and I would go back to OG, because the question that I asked earlier of Paul was, what was the beer that got you hooked on craft, or at least the alternative of typical beers that are available? So being a little bit of an older guy, Watney's Red Barrel was the first sort of, you know, beer, and I was like, whoa, that's a different color. It was a bar that I happened to be working at the time, bartending, and I went, let me try that. And I went, wow, that's pretty good. It's different for sure. But the one that really kind of drove the point home, and I'm sure for a lot of people out there on the internet and in the world, was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, right? When it made it to the town and I tasted it and I went, whoa, that is delicious. Hey, what's that fun extra thing going on? Oh, hops. Shoot. That's cool.
Well, speaking of hops, I have a hop question because I'm interested in hops and stouts. So what hops did you put in your donut?
It's only 10 IBU. Yes. Right. Like, poquito, muy poquito. Casbeck is the hop that we chose for this. Single hop edition, 70 minutes before flame out.
It's very nice, and it's just adds just enough bitterness to balance out, I guess, a little bit of that lactose sugar that's in there, but very nicely done.
Thanks. We're trying not to suck.
It's a good question from Gary. So why twist off bottles? I think you sort of answered that. So maybe a twist is, no pun intended, are you okay with it being twist off?
100%, especially if you're looking at, you know, really big beers. This is, especially our traditional barrel aging series, tend to be on the higher side. We don't get the, you know, abject cold that they do up north at Unibrew, but Indiana does get cold in the middle of the winter, and you want a little something that'll warm you up. So the twist off allows you to have a sip, cap it, put it back in the fridge, or let it kind of warm up gradually on the counter if you can't wait, and then, you know, sip it a little bit more. So it's an all-night sipper.
Yeah, that's what I immediately did with mine. So it's very nice.
And if you happen to be walking around someplace and you don't want your beer to slosh out, take a couple of pulls, put the cap back on, put it in your pocket, you know.
If you're trying to be incognito and you...
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's a flask. Okay. That's what you're saying.
You don't want to spill while you're driving.
Some municipalities may not, you know, be cool with you having a beer while you're walking around.
Yeah. Just about all of them, I think.
The cool part is Indiana isn't that way. That's one of those weird rules. We have all kinds. Every state and country has strange rules. But FYI, Indiana, if you are walking around with a beverage, an alcoholic beverage, in its original container, i.e. cans, then it's totally cool. I've been on bike rides with two different mayors on our way to a ballpark. We've got a AAA baseball team in town. And, you know, riding next to them with cop security, bike riders, like stopping traffic. We do it for opening day. And just, you know, having a delicious beer at the same time. It's pretty awesome.
Chris says he's moving to Indiana.
Come on.
The beer's good.
I think we're doing all right.
I think so. With all this innovation in the delicious beer and then the canning also, what can we expect coming around the corner from Sun King?
Well, we just cut loose a mixed 12-pack of seltzers for fun. At some point when we started, we bolted on the distillery to Sun King. We realized that, yes, we're a brewery, but now we're also making spirits. And what does that mean to the overall ethos of Sun King? And we were like, well, we're also a beverage company because we are making other fun beverages for people to enjoy. So we took the next step and said, let's also try our hand at that. So that's coming out. We've got a bunch of different barrel-aged products coming as well. So we have Caramel Apple Triple, which is our Belgian-style triple that we ferment with seven different yeast strains. We don't have 200 years for natural, you know, change of yeast so that it becomes proprietary. So we do a lot of yeast blending, especially when we're doing Belgian beers. So that'll be coming out. We rum barrel age that bad boy for over a year after a 3-month fermentation. Then we add apples, brown sugar, and cinnamon. And then we take a torch and a annealing torch and we brulee the apples that are covered in brown sugar and cinnamon. And then we add it back to the barrel and let that age another 3 months. So that guy's coming out soon, next month.
Jerry, did I get a reaction from you when he described that?
That sounds delicious. Just as the donut beer, actually, you know. Sometimes I get jealous about all these funny and funky things, you know. I manage my way to brew like a barrel-aged version of Fin de Monde, aged in tequila barrels, you know, back in 2015. But it's very hard to do these things at the brewery. So hats off to you. Honestly, it looks delicious, and for sure, next time I'm in Indiana, I will look for that for sure.
Beer trade.
Sounds like a deal.
Go for it. I would. Definitely.
Nobody else was hearing that, right? That was just
Dave, I'm real intrigued with the barrel room behind you, and you're actually in it versus my green screen. Can you tell us a little bit about that barrel room?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of different things working in here. One of our signature beers is Cherry Busey, which is our kind of homage to a lot of beautiful old brews from Belgium. So you see, if you can see the barrel behind me, it's Flanders, right? So we've got a nice Flanders. So what we'll do is when we're doing our Cherry Busey selection, there'll be those special rare barrels that'll pop up that you'll say, maybe there's 3 or 4 out of 30. And we'll take that and we'll make that a special blend itself. And we typically refer to that as Stupid Sexy Flanders. So it's, and we have the TM, we have the trademark on that. I don't know why, but it happens. So, so Stupid Sexy Flanders doesn't come out every year. It's only when, you know, a rare pairing of barrels come together. But Cherry Busey is one that we've won. Let's see, we won 3 GABF medal in a row. We've missed last year on that front, but we, you know, pretty good. Peter Bucart, anybody heard of that guy? Came to our brewery one time, and the one beer he wanted to leave with, because, you know, he's got plenty of beer. He was heading to Chicago for a thing, and he goes, "May I have some more of Cherry Busey?" That was my horrible Belgian accent.
And it looks like a lot of barrels. Can you just briefly tell me how many?
We've got about 600 in this room. It goes back and...
Oh, look at that. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, it's a decent size, about 2,000 square feet going on. We have a lot. We have some core beers that we do every year, but then we also like to muck around. So we porter that we soured, that we called Midnight Choir, and added black cherries and a little bit of plum. And that ended up winning gold last year at GABF.
Well, you guys are helping me figure out where I'm going on my next road trip. and I can't wait for COVID to be over to do it.
Amen.
Dave, okay. This was awesome. What a delicious beer.
Cheers, even
just a innovative packaging. Thank you very much for sharing those details, sharing the beer the first time out of the brewery. What a privilege. Cheers.
My pleasure. Cheers.
I want to thank you for listening to today's show, and I encourage you to join our Beer Buyers Club by signing up at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You'll receive weekly newsletters detailing the latest beers and more information on our live stream happy hour events and podcast episodes. We hope you'll join us for the next Beer Buyers Club.